Right, so Rabbi Patkis asked me to give this share because he's in Eretz Yisrael. Truth is, I was very reluctant to actually give this share. I don't feel that I'm the right sort of person to give a halachic share. I don't have a lot of halachic background. But here I am. So I'll do my best. Don't take my word for anything. Any questions, wait for Rabbi Patkis to come back or ask your local Orthodox rabbi. If you have any questions on anything we say, that's perfectly fine. Just keep it to yourself. Never, seriously, you can ask questions. It's not a problem. And if I can give you an answer, I'll give you an answer. And if not, then I'll try to be honest and tell you that I don't know. So I think Rabbi Parker started yesterday in Sif Yud Beis, which was a relatively new subject in this larger subject of Mimtzecha Fetzach V'Dabe Dover. And that's the subject of Shtori Hadyotus, or probably more accurately, Shitri Hadyotus. Right, you spoke about that yesterday, about reading things that you shouldn't be reading on Shabbos.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So there's a, I don't know exactly what Rabbi Park has told you, but I'm sure he's told you that the basics, that there's this rule that you're not allowed to read a lot of things on Shabbos. Shtori Hadyotus. Usually that means the basic issa is really for business documents, to read something like an invoice, a bank statement, or something like that. That's osa. What's the reason? You know what the reason is why it's osa to read these sort of things?
Might come to change?
Change figures. Right, so there's two reasons. You might come to rub something out, change it. Shema yimchik, you might come to erase something. Another reason is because mimtzei chafetzecho. Right, this issa that's brought in the VM of Mimtzei Chafetzecho V'Dabedov, you're involving yourself in business matters, that's also necessary. There's two problems. There's the, maybe you're going to erase something, and even if you're not going to erase something, still, there's this issa of Mimtzei Chafetzecho. Whenever you have one of these, any one of these two things applicable, it's also to read that thing. And the truth is, when I was preparing for this show, I was surprised myself as to how far-reaching this issa is. And it's, in a way, it's very unusual. Because when it comes to Suri Shabbos, and especially this, which a lot of these things seem to be Suri Drabon on, you don't expect things to reach so far. But this is such a far-reaching issa. Chazal were very, very worried about this. They would seem to be extremely worried that people would come to read business documents and therefore be over on Mimtzei Chafetzecho, or maybe come to erase something. And therefore, it seems to be that when it comes to reading anything on Shabbos, the general, perhaps, way of viewing it is, it's also, unless you know otherwise. That means, as if it's almost also to read anything. But we'll see, there's obviously many things you can read, but there's a huge, huge amount of material that you can't read. But we need at least one of these criteria, right? Maybe Mimtzei Chafetzecho or Shema Yimchik. If you don't have any of those, then it would be mutter. So, if there's no worry that you're going to confuse what you're reading with a business document, and there's no worry that you might come to erase something, then it's mutter. So for example, you probably learned yesterday, if you have something engraved in a wall, you learned that? Obviously not. You did?
Yeah.
Something engraved in a wall, you're not going to confuse it with a document because it's on the wall. It's not a piece of paper. And you're not going to erase it because how are you going to erase it? So that sort of thing would be mutter to read. Similarly, something embossed, if it's something that you can't erase, would be mutter if it's embossed on a wall, not on a piece of paper. That would be awesome. So for example, if you go to, let's say, a bridge or something, sometimes you have a plaque that's nailed onto the bridge, and it's embossed on the plaque is, you know, what the name of the bridge or something like that. So that sort of thing would be mutter to read, because since it's part of the bridge, and it's embossed, and you can't just, you know, rub it out easily, that sort of thing would be mutter. But if it's not embossed, if it's just written on that plaque, it would be also to read that sort of thing, most likely on Shabbos. Okay, but so a lot of this was dealt with in Sif Yud Beis, but we're moving on to Sif Yud Gimel. So in Sif Yud Gimel, he says, Shitri Hadyotus, these documents, these business documents, Tainu Shitri Chovis V'Cheshbonos, things like loans, any sort of business calculations, you're not allowed to read these sort of things on Shabbos. Vigorous Sheila Shalom. What about letters? Right? If you receive a letter in the post, are you allowed to read it on Shabbos? What do you say?
Well, you can't open it.
Let's see you get around that problem. A postcard, right? Or the envelope's open. Are you allowed to read it on Shabbos?
It's, if it's printed, you can't rub it out. It's done in pencil, then you can't.
Well, you could. There are ways of rubbing it out, even if it's printed. You could tipex it, cross it over, or something. So that itself would. I don't think that would be a heter at all. And anyway, you'd suddenly confuse it with other documents because it's on a piece of paper. So he says, as a general rule, you can't read letters on Shabbos. Even just to look at them without verbally articulating what it says there would also be asa. When you just look at something without verbalizing it, it's not as bad as actually reading it out. There are some opinions that say when it comes to these sort of documents, business documents, whatever, if you're just looking at them and you're not actually verbalizing it, it will be mutter. We don't paskan that way. We paskan that even if you look at it, it'll still be asab. However, when it comes to letters, there might be room, as we'll see, to be matir, if you're just looking at it without actually verbalizing it. Because since letters are not actual business documents, you can rely on the fact that you're not actually, you can rely on basically on the minority opinion that says that if you're not actually verbalizing it, it would be mutter.
Last question.
Sure.
What about a student who's reading, because he's got an exam, let's say, on a Monday, he needs to revise. Can he revise on the Shabbos just by reading his textbook?
So the truth is, this is dealt with in Sif Yud Zayin, mainly. It's a bit later on the next page, probably tomorrow's share, which I won't be giving, I think. I think there are a terim for that sort of thing. You could be matit but not under every circumstance. Whoever's giving the shiur tomorrow, maybe ask them that question then. Okay, now just to go into a bit more detail on what we've just been saying now, let's first look at the Mishnah Berurah. So Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat Nun Aleph, he says, Shitra Chavis V'Cheshbonis, what's the general reason why it's also to read business documents? So he goes through the two reasons that we just mentioned. Yesh Emim Sam Semi Shumim Mitzecha V'Tzecha. Because of this Issa V'Mitzecha V'Tzecha, the Pasuk says it's also to involve yourself in business matters. Yesh Emim Shum Shema Yimchik. And some say because you might come to a raise. So those are two reasons why it's also to read business material. What about regular letters? Sh'ele Shalom. In Sif Katan and Beis, he says it's awesome Yishum Demichlaf B'Shtak B'Shitra Diyetis, because since we're worried that people will get confused between this and other documentation which is relevant to his business, therefore it's also to eat even a letter. So you receive a letter from a friend, a relative, or something, you might confuse it. So just like, you know, this letter came in the post, so too my bank statement came in the post. If I can read this one, I can read my bank statement as well. We're worried about that. People might confuse these two things, and therefore it's also to read even a personal letter. Then he carries on, Sifkat Nun Gimel, Vafila La'ayim Behem. Even to look at them would be also without verbalizing it. Because when you're looking at it, even if you're just looking at it, but it's very easy to fall into the trap of, you know, starting involving yourself in business documents. So therefore, it would be also even just to look at it without actually verbalizing it. Or Mairi, and this is the important part, or Mairi, and it's talking Kishidei Mikva, where you already know Marcus Sibba, what's written inside it, which is really dealt with in the next Sif. Meaning, although he said so far that if you receive a letter in the post or in any other means, a personal letter, it's Asa, however, that's not always the case. There are many cases when you can read a personal letter. If you haven't yet read that letter, you can read it once. Let's go back a little bit. When it comes to this issa of reading documents, reading any material, there are three basic exceptions to the rule when you're allowed to read it. There's something for a mitzvah. You're allowed to read something. You can read a sefer on Shabbos, otherwise, what do you do all Shabbos, right? You can certainly read a sefer, anything that's got to do with a mitzvah. You can read something that's got to do with something that might be of benefit to you. Tzarchei Aguf. And you can perhaps read Ksav Shal Chochma, something that increases your wisdom, which perhaps answers your question. Something which increases your wisdom, you want to read a science book or something like that, then you could read that as well. So those are three basic criteria. The middle one that we said was sarachia guf, something that can affect you, that can help you in your personal life. If you receive a letter, you don't know what's written inside it. And therefore, it could be that inside this letter, there's something that's relevant to you, something that once you read it, would help you personally. It's sarachia guf. It falls under that category of the permitted things that you're allowed to read, since you don't know. So therefore, you're allowed to look at that letter once, just to check. Check to see it's got something that's relevant to you. Once you've read it once and you know what's written inside, you can't read it again because now you know what's already inside it. So because of that possibility that there's something that's sorokhi aguf, that's something that's relevant to you, that might be of use to you personally, for your personal life, your health, or whatever it is, therefore you're allowed to read it. Even if it's far-fetched, even if it's unlikely, but it's possible, you can still read that letter once. But again, not verbally, you can't speak it out, you can just read it with your eyes. And only once. Once you've read it once, you can't read it again.
That would only apply, I presume, to a letter that you can see is from somebody you know, or from, you know, from the bank, or something.
If you know it's from the bank, and it's relevant to your business, you know, your financial life, then you can't read it, yeah. And even if it's something from a relative or a friend, but you know for sure that this is not something that's relevant to you as, on a personal level, as a tzarech yaguf, something that can help you, then it would be also to read. But if there's any possibility that it might be something that's sarachi aguf, then it would be mutter to read it once just by looking at it without verbalizing it. So if it comes out that most letters that are not business letters that you receive, business meaning including bills and things like that, it's not related to finance, you could read once, as long as you get around the problem of opening the letter. Right? Once you get around the problem of opening the letter, you could read it once with your eyes, and then put it away and don't read it again. So therefore, most letters would be mutter to read.
Like a postcard, you know, it's
you never know what people write in their postcards. It might be something that's relevant to you.
Yeah, just because it makes you happy on top
of that. I don't think the fact that it makes you happy is a heta. I don't think that's brought down as being a reason to be a matter.
That's sort
of good. I don't think that's enough to be called a tzarachi aguf. If it's something that's got to do with your health or something similar to that, your general well-being. Okay, I don't want to paskin on it, but if you feel that this will really make you happy, really give simchas, you know, simcha on Shabbos, then I don't know. Okay, I don't know. Yeah, if it's somebody who's really nervous and he's really, you know, feels that he won't have any menucha over Shabbos unless he can read it, maybe, I don't know. Okay, now, just on the other side of it, if you want to send a letter to somebody and you're going to send it first class post on Friday, it's going to arrive in Shabbos, you know for sure it's going to arrive in Shabbos, and you know there's no tzarachi aguf in that letter, nothing that is going to, relevant to his well-being, are you allowed to send it if you know that he's going to receive it on Shabbos? So, let's say you can open it. Let's say you don't close the envelope properly, right? You tuck it in, or a postcard or whatever. Are you allowed to do that? You are. You're allowed to send that letter, even though you know that there's nothing relevant to his well-being. But as far as he's concerned, he doesn't know about it. So when he receives it, he's not doing anything wrong by reading. He's not being over any yisurim. Therefore, it's perfectly okay for you to send that letter. Yeah.
How's it help to read the letter?
What do you mean? Because then by reading it once, he knows whether it's relevant to his well-being.
And if it is relevant, then he can read it
again. Only if he didn't catch something the first time around, that he would need to read it again in order to get that benefit from for his well-being. But if you received all that benefit ready the first time around, then you can't read it again. So in most cases, it wouldn't be mutter to read it again. Okay, let's move on to Sif Yod Dalet, which is a similar sort of subject. To read the letter that's sent to him. He's basically saying what we said. If you don't know what's written inside that letter, mutter, it would be mutter to read this letter. You're not allowed to read it out verbally. You can just look at it. However, if it's brought from outside the tchum, then it's better not to touch it. If it's brought from outside the tchum, it's better not to touch the letter because it might be mutzah. However, the Mishnah Berurah points out that it's not actually Muktzah. This is not what we passed on. Nefes are brought from outside the Chuman, not Muktzah. And if you can get around the problem of opening it, and you can, the truth is, you could get the guy, the postman, if you feel friendly enough with him, you can ask him to open the letter for you. So you can get around it that way as well. But it's not Muktzah. So the fact that he says over here that it's best not to touch it, that's not the way we paskin. Okay. Right. Let me just see what he says here on this side in Dershul. He's got a few points over here. Just in the general concept of not reading things on Shabbos, I don't know exactly what Rabbi Pak has told you. Certainly adverts or something like that are totally also to read. And anything that's not relevant to any of these three categories that we said, either it's a mitzvah, or it's something to do with your well-being, or it's a chochma, you want to increase the wisdom, would be also to read. So anything else would be also. Therefore, it goes as far as, you know, there's a shaila. If you take a book, and in the front of the book, it says, you know, who the author is, who it's printed by, and all of the details over there, are you allowed to read that on Shabbos? It could be that maybe not, because this doesn't fall under any of these three categories. Reading a novel on Shabbos that's got nothing inside it of use, even a Jewish novel, is a shaila. Can you read that on Shabbos? Maybe not. What about newspapers? Was that discussed at all yesterday? No. Are you allowed to read a newspaper on Shabbos? So I think that, sorry?
I say in Hamodia, so you have the business section, so then you have to be careful there then really, wouldn't you?
Yeah. So basically there's three different types of newspapers, I mean. Financial newspapers are definitely Asa. Right? Financial Times, you know, it's definitely Asa. And any financial part of a newspaper, as you said, would be definitely Asa to read. Then you've got secular newspapers, right? Secular or non-Jewish newspapers. Would you be allowed to read those newspapers, putting aside the general question whether we should be reading them anyway? But just as a Hilchos Shabbos thing, are you allowed to read those newspapers? The question is, I mean, there's definitely no, or almost definitely no Divrei Torah there, right? It's not a Tzerech Mitzvah. But what about, is there a Tzerech Yaguf? Is it something to do with your general well-being? So there is a tzad to say that maybe there is something to do with your well-being, because by reading what's going on, it makes you more aware, and therefore you can protect yourself better. If you hear that there's turmoil in you know, this part of the country or whatever it is, well, there's a health, something about the health, then, you know, it could be that there's something that's relevant to you. Therefore, there could be room to be lenient to read a secular newspaper on Shabbos. But even if you're going to be matter to read a secular newspaper on Shabbos, obviously you've got to avoid the parts that are got to do with finance, business, or anything like that, and certainly adverts you can't read at all. When it comes to a Jewish newspaper, I think the halacha is, I think, that it's mutter. From newspaper would be mutter to read, because the news there is news that's relevant to you. It's all considered to be news that's relevant to you. However, even if you're going to read that, again, you have to be careful about certain parts of the newspaper. Don't read the adverts, right? Don't read the adverts, don't read any of the business news or anything like that. It could be. Yeah, probably.
So the world news is okay.
The world news that's printed in the from newspapers, you can assume is okay. Yeah.
Because it's relevant to us.
Yeah.
In what way?
Or it might be relevant to you anyway. They choose. They don't print most of the news. They print only certain parts of the news. Why do they print those parts? Because they feel that's something that's more of relevance to people. So if you don't know, it could be that certain parts are not, but since you don't know, it's no different, I believe, than reading a letter, since it might be relevant to you, therefore you could read it at least once. However, there is reason to be machme even with a from newspaper, and some people don't read it because they're worried they might come to read a part that's, you know, like a business part, or they might, it's very easy to read an advert, as you're reading it, there's a corner of the page is an advert. So therefore there are those people who are machme not to read even a from newspaper on Shabbos. What's inside the magazine?
Yeah,
inside the Amidia? So, well, I think there's a less of a problem because it's not business matters and there's no adverts there. Maybe in the back page is an advert, but when you're actually reading it, there's less of a problem. Plus, it's also Divrei Torah. A lot of it's Divrei Torah. So I think that would be a lot less of a problem. Now, again, just to talk about the general Shitrei Deyotus and how far it extends, the sort of things that you can't read, certainly business things you can't read. And it's not just business, but if you want to go on holiday and you want to check out, you know, where am I going to go on holiday, you know, you can't look at holiday house rentals and Shabbos or anything like that. You can't look at travel times because all of these things are absolutely don't fall under any of these permitted categories. Anything like that. You want to look through a cookbook? You can't look through a cookbook. Again, if going back to your question, maybe if it's something that's not, you're not a cook, right? But you're just interested in that sort of subject because you want to increase your chokhmah, your wisdom, then perhaps there would be heterium to let you read a cookbook just because you're interested in the science behind it or something like that. But if you're interested because of the cooking, because you might come to do some cooking, you're the cook in the house or whatever, you sometimes cook, it would be also to read a cookbook or recipes. And all of these things are also, even if you don't verbalize what you're reading, just to actually look at them would be us. It's only something that's like a letter and perhaps a newspaper that would be mutter as long as you don't verbalize it. Which, talking about verbalizing, if you're reading a novel, let's say, right? You're reading a novel, and there's no Divrei Torah there, but you, for whatever reason, you're reading this novel because you feel it's something that's relevant to you, whatever. You're allowed to look in and read it with your eyes, but you can't verbalize it. So that means you shouldn't be reading out a sentence. You know, say to somebody, hey, you know what I just read? It just says over here, this in the sentence. You shouldn't be saying that. Because when you're reading out the book, you're verbalizing it. So if you are going to read a novel or something on Shabbos, it's got to be done just with your eyes. You can't actually speak it out. Sort of things that are mutter as k'sav shel mitzvah. Obviously, sfarim are mutter to read. You could look at a Jewish calendar on Shabbos. Any storybooks which impart good middos, whether they're Jewish or not, but you can learn something from them, you can learn good middos from it. There are some non-Jewish books like that. Then, generally children's books, then you could read those on Shabbos. You could read an invitation on Shabbos, that's considered a k'sav shel mitzvah. Sort of things that are considered like to do with your well-being, besides for the, you know, possibly reading a newspaper or a personal letter, you could read something about a diet on Shabbos. You could read, which is similar to a newspaper reports, anywhere of political unrest because it might be relevant to your well-being. And you could read the ingredients on a package because, again, that's got to do with your personal well-being. So that sort of thing would be mutter on Shabbos. When it comes to k'sav shel chokhmah, you'll see later on, I don't want to go too much into it, when it comes to general wisdom, can you learn general things? Can you read a science book? Can you read anything like that? So there are those who are machmir, not to read these sort of things, but on the whole, you could. So if you're interested in animals, you want to read about animals, fine. It's not a problem, really. You can read about those sorts of things. If you're interested in machinery and engineering, you could read a book on mechanics, as long as that's not your profession. If it's your profession, then it'll be asa, because that's to do with mimsei chavetzach, it's got to do with your business. But if it's just something you're interested in doing, then that would be mutter to do on Shabbos. It's interestingly enough, he points out over here that it's so far-reaching, this issa of reading things, that even a kasuba, right? You know, some people have the kasuba framed on the wall, you wouldn't be allowed to read that on Shabbos because it's not a mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah document. There's no tzarechei aguf. It's not considered a chachma. So just to read that on the wall would be asa. So that just shows how far it is that certain things you can't reach. However, you know, what's perhaps important to realize is that to see something is different than to read it. So let's say you're walking down the road. You're not allowed to read, let's say, the adverts there. Not the adverts on the billboards, not the adverts on the side of the bus or anything like that. But sometimes, as you're walking down the road, it sort of hits you. So have you done an issa by seeing it? You haven't. You're not allowed to deliberately look at it. But if you just happen to notice it, you shouldn't carry on looking. But the fact that, you know, you hit it and in that second you see what it says, you haven't done any issa. It's only the act of deliberately looking at this sort of thing that will be issa on Shabbos. Okay, that's I think, just a general overview of some of the Isurim and Eterim of Shtari Adyetas. There's more to come in the next Ifim, and those will be dealt with, hopefully, by somebody else tomorrow. Okay.